Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And if you read on down, you'll find in verse 15, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And then in verse 21, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And then verse 31, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. I gather therefore that God wants the redeemed to say so. Now, if I was going to teach this psalm this morning, there's so much in this psalm that it'd be impossible for me or any other preacher or teacher to do so and do justice to the psalm in 20 minutes. But the water's going to run out in 20 minutes, I'll promise you that. But you can look down through this psalm, and God rescues these from aimlessness. You know, many of us, before we were saved, we didn't have any aim in our life. We just wandered around in the wilderness. And I'll tell you, my friend, this world is a wilderness. Not the wilderness that Israel was saved from, but this world is a wilderness, and there are many out there that are lost without God. And God says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men, and so on and so forth. But I'm just going to zero in on, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, you'll notice God didn't say, let the Baptist say so. You notice that? God didn't say, let the Methodist say so. God didn't say, let the Presbyterian say so. God didn't say, let the charismatic say so. In fact, God didn't even say, let the preacher say so. God didn't say, let the Sunday school teacher say so. God said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. There are Baptists that have never been redeemed, and I know that's not news to you. And there are Methodists that have never been written. And by the way, the Methodists used to have the ball for God back many, many years ago. And the pastor was, as he was introducing me, he was saying that I was going to do this and do that and bring out some of those things. We'd be here all day. I mean, I can't cover all that he said, but you just trust in what he has said, and be sure and be back tonight. This is the sixth church I've been in this year that I've never been in before. And I always like to be in a new church. Maybe not new to you, but new to me, because that gives me the opportunity to tell you how I became redeemed and tell you how God brought me and my wife together. And I'm going to do all of that tonight. And bring a jug tonight, Pastor, because God didn't say, let the Baptists, because Baptists, many of them haven't been redeemed, but he did say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, how are we redeemed? We're not redeemed by corruptible things, silver and gold, but we are redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter tells us that, and I'm so grateful that he has. So the question this morning is, not are you a Baptist, not are you a Methodist, Not are you a Presbyterian. And I've heard some wonderful Presbyterian preachers preach, one in particular, Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse. And that goes back, you know, years and years ago. And they're Presbyterians that have been redeemed. They're Baptists that have been redeemed. They're Methodists that have been redeemed. But every Christian has been redeemed. I preach a message on you don't have to be a Christian to go to heaven. And that always gets the pastor's attention immediately. Those that know the Word of God. I say that you don't have to be a Christian to go to heaven. You mean a Muslim can go to heaven? I didn't say that. Do you mean a Buddhist can go to heaven? I didn't say that. I said you can go to heaven without being a Christian. What is the definition of the word Christian? Christ-like. And I know some Christians who are not Christ-like. They don't walk as he walks. And they still walk and fool around in the darkness. They come in and out. And so therefore, you don't have to be, for instance, Lot. I believe Lot's in heaven. I believe that he vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. I believe he's in heaven, but he's far from being Christ-like. So you get the idea. But no one. No one can go to heaven until he's been redeemed. You never make it until you've been redeemed. Redeemed, oh, how I love to proclaim it. You know, it's wonderful to know that you've been redeemed. Now then, and if I were to ask you, how many have been redeemed? I dare say that probably 100% would raise their hand and say, I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. All right, let me ask you this. Are you saying so? Are you saying so? And I'm not preaching this morning on the subject of redemption, but I'll tell you one thing. I believe with all of my heart that you must be redeemed in order to go to heaven. That's the question. I'm not asking this morning if you're a Democrat or Republican. I'll tell you which party I belong to. But if it did, it'd make you Democrats mad. And I'm not here to make folks mad. I'm here to lift you up. I'm not asking you if you're a Democrat or Republican, but I am asking you, have you been redeemed? Redeemed, oh, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Peter told us that we are redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you saying so? Well, how do you say so? How do you say so? Well, I'll tell you one way you can say so, by the way you dress on Sunday morning. And I'm blessed, Pastor, to see so many men in your church with their suit and their ties on. That very unusual in our day. Now that was the usual in the days gone by. In the days gone by, all the men would come and they would wear their very best on Sunday. And you know why we ought to wear our very best? Because we are here for a very important event. And out in the world, when there's an important event going on, they dress up. I was watching the TV here not too long ago in Oklahoma, and they were having a banquet and honoring some of the sports celebrities in Oklahoma, the golfers, the football players and everything. And I saw Bob Trey there. He's a golfer, PGA golfer, and here's a football player. And every one of them had on a suit and a tie because it was an important event. They wanted to show that it was important. And I'll tell you, on Sunday morning, we're coming to an important place. We're coming to an important event. And we're here in the presence of the most important person that was ever, ever here on this earth, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So on Sunday, you see a fella with a football suit on. You say, boy, he's going to go play football. He's going to go play football. You see a fella with a baseball suit on, and you say, well, he's going to go play baseball. And you see a fella with a suit and a tie on Sunday morning, and you say, he's going to the house of God. Everybody at the motel this morning when we walked out, everyone at the motel when Mrs. Thompson and I walked out knew exactly where we were going. They knew we weren't going to harvest corn. They knew that we weren't going to the rodeo. They knew that we weren't going fishing for real fish. They knew we were going to the house of God. And you know what that does? That brings conviction upon them. I'm preaching from experience here, because I lived in an apartment house. My wife, not Annabelle, but my wife, and I'll preach a little bit about that tonight. And I wasn't saved. And I'd be sitting out there waiting on my dad and my grandpa to come by to take me real fishing. And I'd see the church people coming, and they're dressed up. And I didn't know it, but the Holy Spirit said, that's where you ought to be going. And so when people see you fellas coming and you ladies coming dressed nicely in your dress clothes, they say they're going to the house of God. And the Holy Spirit will speak to their heart and say, that's where you ought to be going. But you see, we've let the world drag us down on their level in most of our churches today. And you'll see maybe one man or maybe two men in dress clothes. And you'll see some ladies with men's apparel on, where the Bible says you ought not to do that. You ought to wear women's apparel. And the same verse that says men ought not to wear, or women ought to not wear men's apparel, the same verse says that men ought not to wear women's apparel. And we recognize that on a man. We were out in Sacramento, California, and a fella came by, lipstick on, dress on, high heels, walking down the street there in Sacramento, California. Annabelle said, did you see that? Did you see that? How many of you ladies would appreciate it if I came this morning with a dress on and the pastor said, here, he's going to be preaching? Well, first of all, the pastor would never say that, and I know that. But then why is it that we don't see it with the women? And I'm really preaching something that you need to go out and preach. I realize that, because I see all the ladies with dresses on. Thank God. That's the way you say so. Let the name of the Lord say so. I want folks to know where I'm going Sunday morning. And I put on my coat and my tie, and I go to the house of God, and everybody knows where I'm going. I had to get some gasoline one morning, and a fella came, and he was going to get gasoline. He said, I see you going to church. I see you going to church. So conviction comes, folks, when we walk the way we ought to walk, talk the way we ought to talk, wear what we ought to wear, and we're telling the whole world, I'm going to the house of God. That's the way you say so. Well, there are many other ways to say so. We say so by the places we don't go. I heard Hired Butt. If you've been in Texas, you've seen the H-E-B stores. That's Hired E. Butt. Multi-millionaire, and I'm talking about in the 50s. And he was preaching in the First Baptist Church, Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I'd drive to Tulsa, Oklahoma to hear Hired Butt. I drove to Fort Worth, Texas to hear Hired Butt. I was a public accountant, and God was dealing with me about many things, but I wanted to hear these preachers, and I drove to Tulsa, Oklahoma to hear Hired Butt. And Church was jam-packed. First Baptist Church, Tulsa, balcony, horseshoe balcony, and all of that. And hired Butt. He's a multimillionaire. He said, I get lots of invitations because I don't charge anything and I don't receive and accept an offering. And he said, I've got more invitations I can accept. But he was a dynamic fella. And he said, my wife and I, we go to dance anytime we want to. Oh boy, First Baptist Church there in Tulsa, they're sitting up taking notice now. They like this fella. And he said, we go to the movies anytime we want to. And he preached along that line for a little while. But he said, ever since we've been born again and know Christ as our Savior, we don't want to. And then, don't know whether I like that guy or not. But my wife and I, we haven't been to a dance. Don't plan on going. Christians don't go to a dance. Now, some who are carnal Christians, they're carnal Christians, you know, according to the Word of God. I don't want to be a carnal Christian. No way do I want to be a carnal Christian. I want to be a saint of God, live like a saint. We parked in the handicapped and old saints. That fits us. So we parked over here. My wife said, I don't know whether I'm a saint or not. I know I'm old, but I don't know whether I'm a saint. And I said, oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are a saint. God made us a saint. Thank God for that when we trusted Christ as our Savior. But I was with a pastor in, Norman, Oklahoma. And we went out to a dance hall to witness to the fellow that owned the dance hall. And he told M.H. Koontz, you remember Matt Koontz, he said, some of your best members come to this dance hall. And Matt Koontz, the hair on his neck flew up. He said, let me tell you something. If any of my members came over here, I want you to know they're not the best members I have. They're the sorriest members that I have. We don't go to the dances. We don't go to the movies. Old devil, he'll tempt you to drag you down on the level of the world. I was in Philadelphia and I'd preached there several times in that area. And I had a little layover, several hour layover there in downtown Philadelphia, and it was summertime. And I saw a sign on the movie house, it's cool inside. And when the temperature gets up 40, 90 and 95 in Philadelphia, it's hot. The devil said, why don't you go in and cool off a little bit? You're hot and you're tired and you've been on the train. And won't you just go in and relax? You don't even have to watch it. And he just about had me tempted to do that. And I said, I'm not going to do it, devil. Get thee behind me. And I walked out of there. Now, downtown Philadelphia, 3 million people, and as soon as I made that decision, someone tapped me on the back and said, aren't you Jack Thompson? In Philadelphia, Pennsylvania? And I'd preach in that area, you know, about the movies and how sensual they are and how the devil uses them to deceive people. And what if I'd have come out of that theater and those people had seen me, that knew me? You tell and let people know about where you don't go. And you're not going to see me parked in one of these adult video shows along the highway. You're not going to see that automobile where, I don't know where it is, out here I guess. You're not going to see that automobile parked at one of these video shows. I'll tell you something else. You're not going to see it parked in one of these gambling halls. No, sir. I'd rather die right now of a heart attack. Excuse me, honey. She's always concerned about that anyway. Is that all right? Thank you. So, old Marion Bean, he's a preacher. You know, a preacher who's been preaching 57 years, he has to be careful. He'd be talking all day long. But I have to tell you this. Married me and he's absent-minded. I mean, well, I'll tell you how absent-minded he was. He took his wife to school. She was a school teacher in Virginia. He got out to let her out of the car, and he had left her at home. Now that is absent-minded. Preachers are that way, you know. They got a lot of things on their mind. And so Marion, he'd always take his wife with him to meetings. So when he got off a track, he'd say, "Virginia, where was I?" And she'll put him back on track. So that's why Annabelle's with me, to help me to keep on track. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The way you dress, the way you walk, what you listen to on the radio, what you watch on TV. All of that's important, folks. And I'll say this too, how you drive. We went to Little Rock to hear Jack Schuler. I wish you could have heard Jack Schuler. Man, what a preacher. His dad was First Methodist Church in California for 40-some-odd years, one of the old-time Methodist preachers, and Jack Schuler was an evangelist. And so we picked up Joe Potts' brother, who was lost. We took him to the meeting there in Little Rock. He lived in Little Rock. And so when we got out, we couldn't get in the traffic line there coming out of the Coliseum there, downtown Little Rock. No one would let us in the line of traffic. And Joe's brother, who was a lost man, he said, "There's your Christians. There's your Christians." Oh, everything we do, folks, is important. It may not seem so, but it is. We ought to be what God wants us to be. Be like the Lord Jesus. And when we say so, what a blessing it is. Not only to the sinner, but to the saint. Amen. I was on the train. Let me tell you, so many things in our lives. I was on a train leaving Tullahoma, Tennessee, to going back to Fort Smith, Arkansas, where I was born and raised. And I thought I was going to die and go to heaven from Fort Smith, Arkansas. But, you know, God changes us and puts us here and there. And so the car I was in was full of smoke, just full of smoke. I didn't know anything about secondhand smoking in those days, but the doctors tell us now that just as dangerous, if not more so, than smoking them yourself. And so I said, "Well, I'm going to go back in the smoker. Maybe no one's smoking back there." And sure enough, I did. I went back. No one was smoking. And pretty soon in came a soldier. And he sat down beside me, or close by. And when I became a Christian, I said, "Lord, make me miserable if I'm near anybody and have the opportunity to witness to him. Make me miserable." And he's done that. He's made me miserable that I don't talk to him about the Lord. So I began to talk to this soldier. And he said, "Well, I've committed the sin that God won't forgive." I said, "No, no, no, son, you haven't done that. You haven't done that." And I showed him and said, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin." And so he was saved. And he said, "I want you to meet my wife." And he took me out to the car and introduced me to. I couldn't believe it, folks. I could not believe it. Here I am on a train and coming from Tullahoma, Tennessee, going to Fort Smith, Arkansas, and I knew the young girl. I knew the young girl. I almost fell flat there in the train. Why? I was in Altus, Oklahoma, preaching a revival meeting, and there's an Air Force base there, and this young wife was coming to the meeting. She said, "I want you to pray for my husband." I said, "Do the best you can to get him to the meeting." But he never did come. And that was her husband that this Christian said so, and God saved him and brought him together. Isn't that wonderful? Hey, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Water's almost gone. The time's gone. And thank God we have the privilege of saying so.